Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here today with Chris.
Good evening, Jonathan. Not morning, like we sometimes say to you in the podcast biz.
It is evening. You have more energy than usual.
I'm a little peppy tonight. But
you had some spicy chicken.
Well, that and just new job will kind of do that to you a little bit, too.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Chris is now the master of the universe.
I am.
He has the power.
Yes, exactly. I have the keys to Grayskull, so I'm good to go.
All right, and we have some guests today.
Yes, we do. I'm pretty excited about this.
First up, we are here with Stacy McPeak. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, guys.
Stacy, where are you joining us from?
I am in Regina, Saskatchewan, which is in the Great White North, Canada.
And what do you do in Regina, Saskatchewan?
In Regina, Saskatchewan?
Other than shovel snow.
Lawyer. but part-time trivia host, I would say.
Ooh, when did you start hosting trivia?
So I used to host when I lived in the other city that in the province, and I moved down here. I used to host trivia up there with one of my best friends. And then when I moved down here, I've been looking for a bar to, you know, start up my own trivia night here. And recently I've made some connections and started about a month ago.
I freaking love it. If anybody else in Regina is listening, where can they find your trivia night?
Our trivia night is at the Rebellion Brewing Company. They have a little tap house on Dewdney, and trivia starts at 8 p.m. Every Tuesday night. So,
love
except
it.
Not tonight.
Except for tonight when trivia is happening here.
That's right. Yes.
Right here. We also are joined today by Greg Priest. Hey, Greg.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
This is your second time on the show, my friend. The last time you were here, you got absolutely destroyed in a television episode by Rob Cesternino.
Well, you know what? If you're going to lose to one guy in that subject, it's got to be him, right?
I should have put you guys, I realized halfway through, I should have put you guys on a team together, because then you could have lost as a team.
Oh, nice.
Instead of as a
Wow. You notice, Greg, you notice how he's like hyping you up before he faces against you in a couple and a little bit. That's what he does. He tries to tear you down.
That's all right. I'm with it. I listen enough. I know his games.
My games. This isn't right. Games. This is personality, buddy.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. All that right. Explains so much.
Yeah, well, guys, guess what?
What?
It is time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm up, Chris!
All right, guys. Well, your Warm It Up Chris question of the episode is coming from TWA Major Patrick Smith.
And Major Smith.
Major Smith. That's
Major
right.
Payne.
Major Patrick Smith. And he actually wrote a really pretty funny little email. I'm going to read an excerpt from it. It says, I was catching up on the Trivial Warfare back catalog for one of the first Warm It Up Chris questions. You did Kentucky Derby winner versus type of apple.
Oh, Lord.
I liked it so much that I created my own Kentucky Derby winner versus type of apple for Warm It Up Chris. In order to thwart Jonathan's game theory, the list is in alphabetical order. Point of clarification, there almost certainly have been horses named McIntosh and Granny Smith. However, no horse with that name has ever won the Kentucky Derby.
Do you know what's funny?
What's that?
Even if you used the exact same ones that you used before,
you still wouldn't remember?
I wouldn't remember any of them.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, guess what, Jonathan? I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, gee, thanks.
All right. The first apple is Ailington Pippin. Ailington, Ailington Pippin.
So that's an apple?
Or is it a Kentucky Derby winner?
Well, you just said it was the first apple, so I'm going to say apple.
Crud, I did do that, didn't I? That is correct.
Is it an apple?
Yes, it's an apple. It's an English variety apple. Wow.
You just said it. Oh, my God.
I'm a doofus.
That was amazing. I pulled a mark.
I hope you did that for all of us.
Right?
I completely pulled a mark.
Oh, that was incredible.
So, well done. Jonathan's got one. Blah, blah, blah.
I loved that, Chris. Let's keep doing that.
All right. Stacy.
Okay.
Ambrosia. Is it a Kentucky Derby winner or is it an apple?
You said ambrosia?
Ambrosia, A-M-B-R-O-S-I-A.
I'm going to go with Kentucky Derby winner.
I'm sorry, it is a Canadian apple.
It's a Canadian apple.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Why do you think I didn't ask you that one?
Stacy. Oh, my gosh.
All right, Greg.
You're a banana person.
Me too. Greg, you got Bismarck.
Bismarck is a Kentucky Derby winner.
Bismarck is actually an Australian apple. I'm sorry.
What?
Oh, goodness. All right, so Jonathan.
Yes.
Brown snout. Brown snout.
Kentucky Derby winner.
It's an apple.
Oh,
used to make ciders.
I figured I had to go game theory, even though he said it's alphabetical, because four in a row seems unlikely.
I know. That's why I loved it. All right, Stacy, you got cannonade. Cannonade.
Oh, part of me wants to go apple just because it's been the trend. No, I'm going to still say Kentucky Derby winner.
That's right. That's
1974
horse.
Kentucky Derby winner. Well done.
I've heard of that one.
Greg, you've got Chateau Gay.
He does. Okay. Wow. I didn't know. Tell us about that, Greg.
All right. The name is Chateau Gay. Is it a Kentucky Derby winner or an apple?
I'm going apple.
It is a 1965 Kentucky Derby winner. I'm so sorry. Oh, welcome to the evilness of Warm It Up, Chris. All right. Jonathan, Empire Variety. Empire Variety.
Apple.
A New York apple. Well
yes!
done.
Yes.
All right.
That felt tricky.
That did it now.
It did. I thought it was going to be a horse.
All right. So, Stacy, you get Limelight.
Limelight?
Limelight.
I'm going Kentucky Derby winner.
Limelight is an English variety apple. I'm
what?
So sorry.
Bloody, wow. I thought for sure that was a horse.
I did too.
Oh, man. All right. So, Greg, you've got Meridian.
Kentucky Derby.
Meridian is a 1911 Kentucky Derby winner. Well done.
High five, Stacy.
Oh, they just like facepalmed each other. That was kind of funny. So, all right, Jonathan, Lord Derby.
Lord Derby?
Lord Derby.
That's an apple.
That is absolutely an apple. Well done, man.
There's no way. There's no way that's included if that's not an apple. I still got game theory on my side.
All right, Stacy, you've got, and I hope I say this right, Nickajack.
You do?
N-I-C-K-A-J-A-C-K. Nickajack.
I hear they make medicine for that.
Only when it itches hard.
You know what? That's actually a Canadian band, and they're terrible.
So close.
No. That's Nickelback.
All right.
Part of me wants to say Kentucky Derby winner because of the Jack part, because, you know, like Apple Jacks. But then I think I have to say Apple. I have to say Apple.
A North Carolina apple. Well done.
A lot of apples on this list.
Man, all right. Let's see. We got Swale. S-W-A-L-E, Greg, Swale.
That sounds like apple to me, Chris.
It's a 1984 Kentucky Derby winner. I'm so sorry. All right, here's your last three. Jonathan, Topaz.
Horse.
Apple.
Darn it!
The Czech Republic. All right, Stacy, you get Winston.
Winston. Sounds like a name, so I'm going to go apple.
Apple is absolutely correct, of the English variety.
There's only been like three horses in this whole quiz.
All right, please, finally.
Please, War Machine.
All right, Greg, Omaha.
Omaha!
Somewhere in Middle America.
Okay, I'm going Peyton Manning. You're singing Counting Crows. Anyway, Omaha.
I'll go Apple.
A 1935 Kentucky Derby winner.
Hold on. Greg, did you get any right?
No, he got one right. He got one.
Got one right.
He's yes. hiding his head.
He's facepalming pretty hard right there. Anyway, so thank you, Patrick Smith. That is your Warm It Up, Chris, question of the episode. And that, to me, was awesome.
Good job, Major Smith. Major Smith, Kentucky Derby winner or Apple?
Oh, we need to check that out.
No, I don't know.
Is he related to Granny Smith?
Possibly.
Mm.
Today's game. Chris is going to be hosting.
Yes.
It is Greg and Stacy against Jonathan.
Team Canada
versus the USA.
Yeah.
Let's get it on. It is time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started.
And first time I'm rooting for Team Canada. This is going to be great.
Why don't you go ahead and use your Canada joke, Chris?
I don't have a Canada joke.
Really? You've never said America's hat?
Oh, well, I have said that
every single time we mention Canada, but now they're here and you don't want to say it.
Hey, they're against you. I'm all right. That's why I'm Team Canada today.
He's scared of you guys. I just want you to
know
that.
Well, Stacy, especially. Come on.
You're our pants. It's okay.
I was going to say underpants. Doesn't have legs.
Oh, man. Have you seen Florida? Wait a minute.
Hey.
That's a little tight.
Not a leg.
All right. So your round one, question one category is comic strips. And I have to thank my wife for this question. She was making me watch Animal Planet as we came up with this question. Brad Anderson created what famous comic strip by being inspired by his own pet, Mia?
Mia's the name of his pet?
Yes. And after the answer is given, there's actually going to be a bonus point opportunity.
Not great with comic strips, as you know.
Mm.
I'm going through comics. I'm like, Hagar the Horrible? No. Beetle Bailey? No. It's like, this is pathetic.
Wow. You really do stink at comic strips.
Yes. Yes. I don't know much about comic strips. There's only 2 answers that are even remotely close for me right now. And I don't think it's either of those. All right. I'm just going to circle the obvious wrong answer here.
Okay. All right, Greg and Stacy, go ahead and talk it out.
Do you have any idea, Greg?
I know who it's not, so I automatically took out anything that has a bunch of pets in it, like Mutts and like that.
Mutts?
Multiple things. Mutts, a very good comic strip.
Okay.
I know Garfield was Jim Davis, so
Davis,
it's not that. And then I got stuck on Heathcliff.
Heathcliff. Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. The other one that I was thinking of, and I can't even think of what the name is, but that like penguin looking thing. It's a comic strip. What I'm talking about?
Oh, that's
I don't even know if it's a penguin.
Bloom County.
Yeah, so that's not it.
Bloom County?
Yeah.
Definitely not it.
Okay, then that was my only other guess.
I got nothing else, so.
I don't even get the paper, so I don't. Heathcliff sounds great to me.
All right, lock in.
All right, Heathcliff is locked in. Jonathan, what do you got?
So I couldn't remember that Jim Davis did Garfield, but I was sure that it wasn't some dude named Brad Anderson. I eliminated most of the comic strips I knew, and I landed on Heathcliff, too.
Okay, so we got both Heathcliffs. The answer is Marmaduke.
Marmaduke.
Oh,
I didn't know Marmaduke was really a comic strip. I guess that's a long time ago, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did it up until he was 92 when he passed away. He did it up until like one of the last days that he died. He did it for a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay. So, guess what? You guys can get some bonus points real quick.
Don't feel like we deserve any bonus points.
Well, fair enough, but I'm trying to get you guys on the board. What breed of dog is Marmaduke? So, let Jonathan write it down real quick, and then... then you guys can talk it out.
Okie dokie.
All right. Team Canada, go ahead and talk it out.
Hey, Greg, what do you got?
He's a Great Dane.
Hey, that's what I thought it was, but then I suck at dog breeds, so I didn't want to say it.
All right.
Well, yeah, so Great Dane.
Okay, Jonathan?
Same as Scooby-Doo. He's a Great Dane.
All right. You guys both get 2 bonus points. Well done. At least you're on the board. All right. Your question 2 category is music lyrics.
Already? Holy stink.
All right. I want you guys to name the 1964 song with the following lyrics. I'm even giving you the year. All right? That's how benevolent of a question asker I am. Bells will ring. The sun will shine. Woe, I'll be his. And he'll be mine. We'll love until the end of time, and we'll never be lonely anymore. And again, name this 1964 song. Jonathan.
Greg, I'm quite positive I know the answer. I mean, Greg doesn't know me. He might not trust my knowledge of...
Greg, do you have any idea what it is?
I have a vaguest of all possible
do
guesses.
Do you trust your partner?
I'm actually going to defer to Stacey on this one.
All right, Stacey, do you want to lock it in?
Yeah, I do. I'll lock in.
Just write it down. Write it down and circle it, please.
It is written down and squared.
Ooh. Okay, we'll take that.
You're a rebel.
Well, I'd already squared it.
I got you.
All right, so...
It is hip to be square.
Oh, thank you, Huey Lewis. So, Team Canada is locked in, Jonathan. You want to talk it out?
Not really. Bells will ring. The sun will shine.
Whoa, I'll be his,
and he'll be mine. We'll love until the end of time, and we'll never be lonely anymore. Those lyrics sound terrible. It's freaking Christmas music when I'm hearing it in my head right now. Bells will ring, sun will shine. That does not help me at all. 1964, and it's a female singing it. And it's not Leader of the Pack.
Vroom, vroom.
Right?
Yeah, he's dead in that song, so that...
Berries grow. There's like,
be tough.
Literally zero coming to me, dude.
I gave you a lot of the song,
too. Tell me about it. I feel like I got the whole freaking song right here.
You got a full stance.
I'm just going to make up a song title and say Danny's Girl.
Okay. Stacy.
Well, as we sang in our grade 12 talent contest, bells will ring, oh, sun will shine, whoa, I'll be his, and blah, blah, blah. And then go into the chapel and where? So I said Chapel of Love.
And the answer is Chapel of Love.
Wow.
Well done, Stacy.
Not only that, but she could sing.
She has got some great pipes.
That was great.
That was amazing.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought the same thing that Jonathan did. The first thing that came to my mind was Leader of the Pack, and I knew it wasn't right. That's why I was so quick to... But she sat back so confident. When Jonathan was trying to figure this out, I took a look and I went, if I ever went up against that in court, I'd be dead.
That's what I do. I just sing Chapel of Love in court.
Lawyered.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so anyway, but the group was the Dixie Cups, and it was 1964, and it spent 3 weeks at number one.
Okay.
Your question three category, and I have to thank Paul Shepard for correcting me on this one. The category is, it was my understanding that there would be no math.
How are you corrected?
Well, remember I sent you the email. Our original category for math was always, I was told there would be no math.
Mm-hmm.
And I was corrected. The line is actually, it was my understanding that there would be no math.
Yeah, but we're not quoting a movie. Whatever.
All right, fine. The category is, I can't even remember. Anyway, math is the category. Jerk. All right. Your question is...
Don't call our listeners jerks.
No, I'm calling you a jerk.
Who?
You.
Where?
There.
Ooh, I hit my head on the mic.
Yeah, I know, right? Question three category is in math. What is the only number with the same number of letters as the meaning of its name? What is the only number with the same number of letters as the meaning of its name?
Are you going to give us a time limit?
Locked in.
Oh, we can't do it because they...
No, actually, Stacy said she's locked in already. So, Greg, you're locked in. Stacy's...
Sorry, Greg. I just know it.
Okay. So, Jonathan?
All right. Well, that means they're locked in, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with four.
All right. So, Jonathan's answer is four. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Stacy and Greg?
I also said four.
And four is absolutely correct.
That's my style of math question right there. Something I can get to by counting from one upwards.
It's almost as if there was no math involved in the question.
It's almost like that.
Well, that's my kind of math question right there. All right. After first round, Team Canada is in the lead 22-12.
All right.
All right. So your round two, question one category is in American history.
Nice.
Oh, come on.
Hashtag advantage.
All right. I didn't realize that both of our contestants were going to be from Canada when I wrote this question, FYI. Anyway, your question is, what was the name of the Mexican general who laid siege on the Alamo in 1836?
I'm locked in.
All right, Jonathan's locked in. Team Canada, what do you got?
Greg, I sure hope you have an American history degree. Okay, good.
I think I heard this the other day, and I'm pretty sure it's Santa Ana.
Santa Ana?
Yeah.
I vaguely know where the Alamo is, so I'm fine with that answer if you are.
It's all I got. Santa Ana locked in.
Okay, Jonathan.
So, you heard it on our show, because we were talking about it in the Warm It Up Chris question with Wesley and Aria, where Santa Yana or Santa Ana, the answer is Santa Ana.
The answer is General Antonio Lopez de Santa Ana. That is absolutely correct, both of you. Well done.
I think it was this show I heard it on, by the way.
I'm pretty sure it was, yes.
Problem is, yeah. Is like when you write, I wrote these questions out about a week or two ago, and I hadn't heard the show, so I didn't know about it until Monday. I probably should have changed it up.
But that's funny.
Oh, all right. Your question two category is in sports.
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 All right. Your question is, who was the first NFL quarterback to pass over for 5,000 yards?
In a career?
No.
In a game?
In a season.
Oh, in a season.
Fine, I will correct then, even though you knew what I was talking about.
I did, but we have to say it.
Who was the first NFL quarterback to pass for over 5,000 yards in a season? Feel better?
I do.
Okay. You still have to get the answer.
I know.
Right,
I'm not sure if I can remember the answer. Trying to think if it's one of the old guys or not. All right. I'm going to lock in.
All right. Greg and Stacy. Team Canada.
I have none. Recently, a friend of mine challenged me to try and name 10 NFL players, and that was a struggle. So I really do not watch the NFL.
I'm not much better than you. Well, nobody watches the CFL.
Hey, I'm in Regina, so.
I've got a go-to answer when it comes to old quarterbacks. It's all I can think of. So, and that go-to answer is Roger Staubach.
That is a name.
Yeah, so
he may play football.
Yeah. No, he did. I remember him from, like, Razor commercials when I was a kid, and that's pretty much it. So I guess we'll lock in with Roger Staubach.
Sounds good.
All right. Jonathan.
I think that Dan Marino was the first one to do it in, like, 1983, 84, 85, one of those. But I'm pretty sure he was.
Okay.
If it wasn't him, it might be Tarkenton, but I said Marino.
Okay. So the answer is, in 1984, Dan Marino.
Yeah.
God darn it. I even have heard of him. So if I were to have guessed, I probably would have picked him, just because he's the one who's in Ace Ventura, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's a reference?
Before,
like, that's why I would have picked it. I've been like, he's a football player.
Before the Mannings and the Bradys and those guys took over, and the Favres took over, Marino was by far the most famous quarterback.
And the most prolific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not most famous. Joe Montana was a fight. It used to be an argument between Montana and Marino, and Elway didn't jump in until he won two Super Bowls at the very end of his career.
Yeah.
You keep saying this word Brady. Are you meaning Giselle's husband?
Well played. I like her. All right. Your question three category is my favorite category, science.
Science.
All right.
I actually said I wouldn't do that, but then I just did it. So
it was wonderful, too.
Yes. You have to do it. It's a rite of passage here on the show. All right. Your question is, who published the first recognized periodic table of elements?
I've had this question before. Oh, I hope this is the right name. I'm going to drink the drink of regrets if I don't get it right.
The tears of remorse in your cup of pain.
What's hard about this to me is the name that I'm thinking of, I wouldn't have thought of it as somebody that I would think that you would know.
Mm.
So that's why I'm struggling a bit. I'm locked in.
Okay. Team Canada, talk it out.
Canada.
I'm pretty sure this is something that's been on the show before, even. I feel like. I don't know why I think that, but is it the father of the periodic table, Mendeleev? Dmitry Mendeleev?
Sure. That's as good a guess as any for me.
I'm pretty sure I just wrote a question about this for my trivia night, or my friend did, and it was Mendeleev.
I have five go-to names running around, and that's one of them, so.
All right. Actually, let's be honest. You have four go-to names, but you just added that one because she said it.
You're half right. That's normally a go-to name that I didn't think of this time.
There we go. I knew it.
All right, Jonathan, do you have an answer for us?
Oh, you can't read it from here. I'll have to have Chris trust me. I wrote down Mendeleev.
And the answer is Dmitry Mendeleev. Well done, both of you, all three of you. Well done.
And Stacy, I think you're right. I think I wrote that question. So it was a while back, probably a year ago.
That would make sense. I was recently listening to old episodes. That would make sense.
All right, so after round two, Jonathan, you swept the round.
Woo!
All right, it's 42-42. We got a good game going on right now. Your round three question category is in geography.
Geography.
Your question is, and I'm going to try to say it as quickly as possible before I butcher it, is in what country is Petra located?
P-E-T-R-A?
That's correct. In what country?
I am locked in as well. So you guys can double check and make sure you're happy.
Okay. I wrote down Jordan.
Greg? I will take your word for that, yes.
Pretty positive that's where it is.
All right.
I don't have any logic other than it's somewhere in the punch bowl.
Okay.
Okay.
Which is a completely good job brain thing to say, by the way. Are you a good job brain listener?
I am. Yeah, I'm a fan. I only through this podcast, though. You introduced it to me.
Oh, look at that.
Cool. Yeah. There you go.
Very cool.
Bringing people to podcasts that are not our own.
That's exactly right.
I said his airness, Jordan.
And the answer is Jordan. Correct, both of you. Well done.
So Petra, if I'm not crazy, is Petra where they filmed parts of The Last Crusade with Ford?
Yeah, Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I believe so,
Isn't that the place they were?
Yes.
I think so.
All right. So let's see how bad I can butcher this question. Your question two category is insects.
Insects?
Insects. See, I told you I could butcher it. What type of flying insect is a purple emperor? What type of flying insect is a purple emperor?
All right.
You sound completely disgusted, Jonathan.
I'm not thrilled. I've been making mistakes lately because I haven't been going with what I considered to be the obvious answer. And I've been missing points in this game and in other games because I was overthinking. And so I always feel bad when I have to make a choice between a really easy kind of answer versus a clever kind of answer.
Gotcha.
And that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm choosing between the two.
All right, Team Canada, go ahead and talk it out.
Initially I wrote down penguin and then realized it was insects, and obviously that's wrong. And then butterfly kind of came to mind, because for some reason emperor butterfly sticks in my brain as something that exists. But
well, there's the monarch butterfly.
Yeah, but I was thinking maybe that's why it thinks it's related way.
I like that. I like that much more than my answer.
What was yours?
It was the standard plague answer, locust.
Hmm.
I like butterfly way better.
You like butterfly better? Okay. I'm not married to it by any means, but I mean.
Well, no.
Okay. I'm going to make the call and we'll say butterfly locked in.
Yes.
Okay. Jonathan.
So my internal argument was between butterfly and moth. So what I was thinking, like you guys, was that, okay, a monarch is a butterfly. And so it would make sense for there to also be an emperor butterfly, but sometimes when you have two similar animals and one of them is very well known, then you take a similar animal and give it a spin-off kind of name. And so that's why I was thinking that moth would be a clever answer. But, like I said, I'm really tired of missing obvious answers because I tried to get clever. Hello, fiddle. And so I went with butterfly.
Okay. So both of you went butterfly, and the answer is butterfly. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Why didn't you go moth?
I almost went moth. I'm not kidding. Like I said, I've just been too outsmarting myself lately.
So Jonathan has gotten the last six correct.
Shut up. Shut it. Why are you doing that to me?
Because it's fun and educational for me. All right. Your question three category is legitimately my favorite category, and that's movies.
Movies.
In the movie Back to the Future, What did the DeLorean's license plate say?
I am locked in.
Okay. Well, are you okay with that, Stacey?
I am, because I'm pretty sure I know what it is too, so I feel like I'm fine with that.
All right, so Jonathan, they're locked in. You could talk it out.
I know the license plate's on Spaceballs. No, the bumper sticker.
That's right.
I was love Uranus.
Well, yeah. Spaceballs 1 was the...
We break for no one.
Yeah.
A license plate typically only has 6 characters, 7 in a pinch. And it's been many, many years since I've watched one of those movies. I feel like the phrase out of time is running through my head, but I can't see how out of time, OUT is 3, OV is 2, that's 5, TM. If it's a phrase, like I'm dealing with a phrase here, do I have to be precise with the letters? Or if it spells out something that sounds similar to what a phrase is, do I get credit for the phrase?
I see what you're asking. Yes, I'll give you credit for the phrase.
All right, I'm just going to say out of time.
Okay. Greg, what do you got?
Out of time.
Out of time.
That is absolutely correct. Out of time.
And I get credit?
You get credit.
Yeah!
Nope.
How many letters is in your out of time? There's like 10 letters in that thing.
There's no. 7. It's 7.
It's just 8.
Or 8, excuse me. She's right. Yeah, 8.
O-U-T-A.
Not
D-I-M-E.
A real license plate. We can't fit 8 letters on our
it's
license plate.
It's a movie.
Plates. I'm just saying, it's not it's a real movie. License plate. They cheated.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but there wasn't a DeLorean in 1985 that could time travel either, Jonathan.
How's that aloe vera now, mister? You just got burned.
You almost told that joke right.
I know, right?
That was well played.
All right. Awesome. Okay. So, going into halftime, it is 72-72. We got ourselves a game here, folks.
Oh, boy. These Canadians, man.
I know, right? Your midpoint category is literature.
Literature.
For 4 points each, name the 5 children who found golden tickets in the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, man.
I need first and last names.
I'm not going to get all these. I can tell you that I have 4 that I feel good about, and the other one I'm never, ever, ever going to get. So I'm going to lock in with what I have.
Okay. All right, so Team right. Canada, go ahead and talk it out.
So do you want me to say the ones I have and then see if those match yours, or how do you want to do it?
Well, here's the thing. You've been kind of doing the heavy lifting so far, so if I can take this one.
He wants to show that he knows something. Look at this, isn't this
please.
Cute?
So it's Charlie Bucket.
Yep.
Violet Beauregard.
Yep, that was the one I couldn't think of.
Veruca Salt.
Yep.
Mike TV.
Yep.
And Augustus Gloop.
And Augustus Gloop. Yep, those are the 5 I have too.
Okay, awesome.
Holy crap.
Thanks.
All right, Jonathan.
I have Charlie Bucket, Augustus Gloop, Veruca Salt, Violet Beauregard, and Eddie TV.
Oh, wow.
I thought the kid's name was Eddie, and I put TV as a made-up answer because I knew he liked TV. I didn't realize that was his real last name. I certainly didn't remember his name was Mike.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the answers are Augustus Gloop, Veruca Salt, love that band, Violet Beauregard, Mike TV, not Eddie, and Charlie Bucket. Well done, Team Canada. All 20 points. Jonathan gets 16. Wow. I thought that question was going to be difficult. I thought wrong.
I didn't think it was easy.
I had Beauregard written down for the longest time, and I was like, what the F is her first name? And then finally it just popped in there.
Because she turned purple, and then they had to take her off and squeeze all the juice.
I was the Everlasting Gobstopper. I remember it all, but I just was like, what the hell's her name?
2 V-names for the ladies there. That's an interesting choice.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that.
That's when I came up with Violet Beauregard, I was like, Violet and Veruca? Really?
You're turning Violet, Violet?
That's right.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm an adult male.
You're an adult male?
And I know all that. This is the one question I've been known all night was from my kid.
I think he's kind of kicking himself a little bit here.
When you ask your My Little Pony question later, I'm pretty sure he's going to know that one, too.
Oh, that's a fair point. All right, so after the midpoint question, Team Canada has now taken the lead. It is 92-88.
Okie dokie.
How are you feeling about that, Jonathan?
It's a close game.
All right, it really is.
All right, guys, that's the end of the first half. We will be back with the second half right after this.
Your round four question one category is world history. And the question is, what was the name of the German Air Force during World War II?
I'm locked in.
Okay. So Team Canada, talk it out.
I believe I know this from a really old computer game. Isn't it the Luftwaffe?
I believe it is, yes. But as far as I know, right. All right, we'll lock
in with
that.
Luftwaffe.
Gotcha. Right. Jonathan.
I said Luftwaffe.
Luftwaffe is absolutely correct. Man, you guys are on a tear, both of you. And by both, I mean team and Jonathan, since there's more than just two. All right.
I'll just sit and wait for another Roald Dahl question.
Oh, man. Okay.
I recently learned he was buried with like a power drill or something like that. It's something weird.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because Old he was ruled. Afraid of getting buried alive. And just in case he actually woke up, he wanted to be able to get out.
Well, he was a weirdo.
Yeah.
I mean, a weird dude.
I don't know if that's correct. I was just making that up, by the way.
That might be why. There was no reason given, just some random fact.
Well, he was a weird dude, so. All right, your question two category is real life meets the movies. And the question is, what former U.S. president defended African slaves in the court case that happened in real life and depicted in the movie Amistad?
I am locked in.
Okay, Team Canada, sorry it's an American president question, but hopefully you might be able to get it.
Yeah, I feel like we have the cards stacked against us with
it's
these.
It's a movie question.
Americana.
Trust me, I know it from the movie, not the court case.
And I did just ask a world history question. I mean, come on, I've been doing better. It's not just been American based.
Oh, I'm just bugging you. Their questions are totally fair.
Thank you,
Stacey. May I?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I know it's one of two, and it's going to bite me, but it's either John Adams or John Quincy Adams. And I am locking in, if it's okay with you, with John Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States.
Sure.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
So if he wasn't the sixth president, is that a wrong answer?
No.
No, I'm just messing with him. He is the sixth president. I said John Quincy Adams.
Who is the sixth prime minister of Canada?
Oh.
Man, you got me. Do you know?
Me too. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I was pretty sure you didn't know.
All right.
Mackenzie King, that's always right.
I mean, like, Borden? He was a racist.
Okay, well, going back to the question, the answer is John Quincy Adams. Correct. Good job, you guys.
Woo! I should have said, was it Anthony Hopkins?
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
It was Anthony Hopkins. Well done.
Anthony Hopkins, sixth president of America.
He had that. All right.
The mutton shop.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was afraid I was going to say it wrong. So, all right, your question three category is television.
Is it Mike Television?
It is not Mike TV.
No.
It's just Televisiones.
Is it CBC by any chance?
No, not CBC, but it's also not an American network either. What famous British comedy used the song Yakety Sax in the credit for their show?
I can 3-2-1 that.
I am locked in.
All right. So,
Greg?
Stacey, well, do you have any ideas? Or
I know as soon as you tell me it, I'm going to remember what Yakety Sax is, but go ahead.
All right. Go ahead, Greg.
Jonathan, do you want a 3-2-1?
Sure, go ahead. Count us.
3-2-1.
The Benny Hill Show.
And the answer is the Benny Hill Show. Well done, you guys.
Man. Can you do a rendition of Yakety Sax for us?
I knew you were going to ask me to do that. No, I can't. So, but
Greg, can you do a Yakety Sax impression for us?
And now someone has to run over to Chris and smack his bald head just a little bit.
And then rub it with baby powder and call it George.
What did I do? What did I say? All right, I got to do a little total in here because you guys are scoring some serious points here.
Oh, and my dad hears that I had a Benny Hill question. He's going to be so proud of me.
All right.
So I've been married twice, and that'll be the proudest he's ever been of me.
Okay, wow. After four rounds, Team Canada 122, Jonathan 118.
Still losing.
All right.
Damn, damn, damn.
Okay.
That was for Ben.
Your round five question one category is time is on your side.
Yes, it is.
All right. And you cannot use paper on this one except for to write down the answer. In other words, you cannot use multiplication tables. You have to do this in your head. Your question is, how many hours are there in a week? And I love the fact that Stacy's hands are just in the air, so I can see that she's not doing anything. That is awesome.
But I'm going to start counting.
All right. I am locked in.
Okay. Team Canada, go for it. How many hours are there in a week?
140 plus 28. All right.
Yeah.
So 168?
Yeah.
168 locked in.
All right. Jonathan, what do you got?
168.
For a second there, I thought you were like doing Winston Churchill or something.
No, I was going for the count.
Fair enough. 168 hours is correct.
I appreciate the simple arithmetic questions. These are very much my speed.
Your question two category is geography. And your question is, what mountain has three volcanic cones? Kibo, Shira, and Mawenzi. Mawenzi.
Read it one more time.
Absolutely. Which mountain has three volcanic cones? Kibo, Shira, and Mawenzi.
How do you spell Shira?
Shira.
How do you spell Mawenzi?
Mawenzi again is Mawenzi. Mawenzi, maybe?
Well, I literally have no idea, so that's always a good time to lock in. I am locked in.
Okay. Team Canada.
So, I don't know, Greg. Do you have any idea? I have some thoughts, but...
I have some thoughts, too. So, let's
talk. You share your thoughts first. You share your thoughts first.
So, did those names sound more Hawaiian or Japanese to you?
Initially, I thought Japanese because they were all, like Mora, like Kibo, Shira, Mawenzi. Like, I thought that could be. But when he spelt the last one, I almost went... Or are they African? But then I'm going back, and I think it sounds Japanese. I was going Mount Fuji was my guess, but
that was what I had written down too. So we might as well.
Okay, let's put that down.
In this together,
we're in it together.
All right. So Mount Fuji is their answer, Jonathan.
So I went in the Hawaiian direction, and I may, even if I'm right, I still might be wrong because I realized that Mauna Kea might be the name of the darn thing. I said Kilauea.
Okay. And the answer is Mount Kilimanjaro.
No.
Really?
Oh, really, really.
Right. Another one recently mentioned because it rises like Olympus above the Serengeti.
I'm so frustrated.
Even though it's nowhere near the Serengeti.
Is it really not near the Serengeti?
But no, it's one of the least factually accurate songs, I believe, about geography.
But I love the song.
That's funny. I mean, the Serengeti is a grassland, which would be nowhere near a mountain, right? That's interesting.
Anyway, by the way, this is the first time that both of you guys missed it in a round. And it's also the first time since the second question in the second round that somebody's missed a question. So, wow.
Wow.
You guys are killing it. All right. Your question three category in round five is science.
Science.
And this question comes from Jonathan's favorite person, Seth Lightfoot.
Why is that my favorite person?
Well, in the last episode, you were talking about him being related to Gordon Lightfoot.
But even if he was, why is that my favorite person?
I don't know.
Who
you just enjoyed
Canadian,
his name tremendously.
So I guess we'll have our advantage here.
Is this a song about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Because it is, I just ruined it.
It is not, no. What is the name of the organization who built the Large Hadron Collider, the largest and most powerful particle collider in the world?
Yikes. As soon as I latch on to anything that does not sound like a stupid answer, I'm going to go with it. That doesn't sound like a stupid answer. No, I mean, it does, but it is so stupid. He ramped up the difficulty significantly than this round. We went from multiply 7 times 24 to naming the people who made the Hadron Collider.
For you!
All right, I am locked in with a very wrong answer.
Okay. Team Canada.
I know it's the thing in Switzerland, but the name is escaping me, so you're going to have to be the one who says it. But
okay, I kind of, if I know this, if I'm right, I know this because a friend of mine is a science fiction author. His name is Robert Sawyer. He's brilliant. He wrote a great book called Flash Forward about what might happen if they actually found the Higgs boson. And that all happened at CERN.
Hey, now that you're saying, I agree that CERN locked in.
Okay, Jonathan.
I hope it's not the right answer because I thought that was the place, but I could be wrong. I wrote down the Royal Academy of Science.
Okay, so CERN and the Royal Academy of Science. The answer is CERN.
Man.
And it's the Council Européen pour de la Recherche Nucléaire. It's French.
I would have sworn that that was the location of it, not the people who made it. That
no, it's actually located.
Flanders.
It's located in the suburb of Geneva, on the Franco-Swiss border. All right, this was a little bit of movement time in the fifth round. It is now Team Canada 142, Jonathan 128. All right,
not good.
Your round six question one category is in sports. Your question is...
I hope this is a 1989 Pistons question. No. Someday we have to do that when Ben's not here.
We really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Your question is, what is the name of the traditional Scottish athletic event where athletes throw a large tapered pole?
What sucks is I've seen it. I know what it looks like. It's terrible. I have hit my wall, ladies and gentlemen. I have hit my wall. I have locked in my incredibly wrong answer.
Okay. Team Canada, do you know anything about Scottish sports?
Actually, I thought I had it, and then I second-guessed myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm right with the second guess. If this is okay, Stacey, tell me what you think. What I've got is the caber toss.
But caber toss. What was your other one?
Hurling.
Oh. Now I'm second-guessing you. Because I thought it was something simple, but is hurling something else? Like,
I'm not
hurling
sure
is something I associate with that Highland Games.
Definitely throwing a big chunk of wood.
Yeah.
While in a kilt.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you feel more confident in caper toss, then I'd rather we go with that. Hurling was just that was what I was trying to think of and couldn't think of because I definitely associate that with Scotland and that stuff. So.
I feel like I have to go with caber toss on this.
I support you fully.
I'm sorry. All right.
I fully support you if that's right.
They were just totally Canadian right there, by the way.
Were they?
I'm supportive, and the answer is I'm sorry. It was just wonderful. It was wonderfully Canadian. Oh.
That was pretty funny. All right. I literally nothing.
Frank, are you drinking wine directly from the bottle?
No, that's gotta be whiskey.
No.
That's not wine.
Wow!
No. Not yet.
That's Canadian whiskey. I promise. It's either that or maple syrup. It's one of those two.
Wow.
I said log tossing. Because I got nothing, dude. I have literally nothing. Man.
All right, so the answer is not log tossing.
Darn it.
It is the caber toss.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good job, Greg.
He locked me out with that. I'm locked out. Man. My goodness.
All right. So your question two category is in literature.
Yeah.
All right. Who wrote Letter from Birmingham Jail?
I'm locked in.
Okay. Team Canada?
I'm thinking either MLK. Or possibly Rosa Parks? MLK sounds better.
And Birmingham, I guess I was thinking British with the Birmingham, but now I'm realizing you're meaning, I think that's in Alabama, right? Birmingham?
Yeah.
Birmingham, Alabama. I like MLK better than Rosa Parks.
Yeah,
if so, those are...
Miss Parks was quite nice.
Yeah.
No reason to like her any less.
Very true.
Do you want to go with that? Then I think that's slightly stronger, and I'm sorry if it's not.
And more likely to be published. Like, I just feel... I feel like MLK would be more likely to be published.
Oh, I just had another thought.
Hey, what else you got?
No, MLK. It's not Malcolm X, it's MLK.
Okay. And do we have to say Junior on that, I assume?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Okay.
So Dr. Martin Luther King.
Dr. Martin Luther the King.
Martin Luther the King.
All right.
That's a Coming to America reference.
Jonathan, what do you have?
I'm going to title this show, Sorry, I'm Sorry. I had MLK.
All right. And the answer is Martin Luther King Jr. Well done, both of you. Your question three category is in movies. And your question is, who is the first African-American to win two Academy Awards for acting? Not in the same year.
I'm locked in.
Okay. Team Canada.
Okay. So I know that Denzel Washington has two, but...
Yes. No one went to before.
Okay, and that's what I thought too.
I'm wondering if anyone went to... hold on. Now, Chris, do you mean like honorary Oscars or competitive Oscars?
No, competitive Oscars. Good question.
Because
he's definitely the first black winner, right? Is Sidney Poitier? For best actor, right?
Well, the first black winner was Hattie McDaniel in 1939.
Yeah, but she was supporting. She was supporting, right? But for like... Supporting. Yeah.
The best actress was Halle Berry. First best actor was
Sidney Poitier. Right? Okay. Yeah, but anyways, that doesn't matter.
Definitely Denzel. He's got Glory. He's got Training Day.
Definitely. And he probably should have won two nights ago, but oh well.
Oh, it was tough. Yeah, it was coin flip for me, frankly.
Let's go with Denzel then?
It's gotta be Denzel.
Locked in.
Jonathan? They call me Mr. Tibbs. I'm going Sidney Poitier.
All right. This person won it in 1989 for Glory.
Oh,
no! 2001 Training Day. It is Denzel Washington.
God! The worst ending to a game ever. This is the second or third game in a row where my ending just falls apart completely. Terrible. Wow.
Okay.
By the way, Jonathan, Sidney Poitier should have won for In the Heat of the Night, but he didn't. Rod Steiger won.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, going into the final, Team Canada, 172. Jonathan, 138.
Don't say it like that's a bad score.
Hey, you're letting America down, dude. All right.
Stacey is smiling at me like we've been best friends since high school, and I
it's
like
it's true.
All right, your gauntlet question category is rainbows. Rainbows.
Rainbows?
Rainbows.
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 Rainbows?
Rainbows.
Damn. All right, I have my wager locked in.
We have our wager locked in.
Okay, so your first question in the gauntlet is, what song was picked by the American Film Institute as the greatest song ever in a movie?
I'm locked in.
I'm definitely locked in.
We are locked in.
Okay. Your second question is, who is the host of Reading Rainbow?
I am locked in.
All right, I'm locked in.
Okay. And your final gauntlet question is, a rainbow consists of how many colors?
Locked in.
Oh, yeah.
We are locked in.
Okay, so your first question was, what song was picked by the American Film Institute as the greatest song ever in a movie?
I said Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Okay.
We said Somewhere Over the Rainbow as well, from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. Your second question was, who is the host of Reading Rainbow?
I said LeVar Burton.
We also said LeVar Burton.
Okay. And your final question, I don't know why I went all high pitch there. A rainbow consists of how many colors? Jonathan?
I said 7.
Team Canada?
We also said 7. Reggie Bibb. Okay.
For the first question, what song was picked by the American Film Institute as the greatest song ever in a movie? The answer is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Who is the host of Reading Rainbow? That absolutely is LeVar Burton, Geordie LaForge himself. And then finally, a rainbow consists of how many colors? That is absolutely correct. It is 7. So both of you got it correct. It now goes to wagers.
All right. So why don't we get the wager of Team Canada first to see how beatable they are?
Okay, so we definitely, well, I think Greg wanted to go a little bit more aggressive than I did, but I wanted to go rather conservative because I didn't really know what to do with that rainbows category. And we decided to go one less than that, even if we both got it wrong, or that if even if we got it wrong and you bet 0 or got it right, that we'd beat you. So we went with 33.
All right. So you had 172 plus 33. You now have 205 points. So it will depend upon Jonathan's wager. Jonathan?
So if I bet, what, 67 or more, then I would win?
Yes. Yes.
So I just need to have bet 67, huh?
That is correct.
I wagered 35.
Oh, no!
And you know what? A part of me said I should wager it all because Chris, the last time Chris hosted, his gauntlet questions were pretty easy. We both got them all right. And lo and behold, I was right in that thought and I didn't do it. And I lost for that reason. And I'm terribly disappointed.
So Team Canada with 205, Jonathan with 163. Team Canada is the winners. Well done.
It's a Team Beaver.
Double wool.
That's the wine talking.
Sorry, I thought you said Bieber. And in my mind, I was like, they can keep him.
Oh, I thought he said Team Beaver.
I thought he said Team Beaver also.
Because he leaned back and was like showing us his legs. It was weird.
Team Beaver!
It's like, what do we need to know about you, Greg?
Now it's Team Beaver.
I mean, geez, I know Canada and all that, but wow.
Whoa. Double whoa.
We have to keep warm somehow.
That's right. I got to be, oh man, I'm so disappointed. When I heard the questions coming out, I was like, yeah, I should have bet it all. I should have bet it all. I should have bet it all. And I didn't.
Oh,
I was so.
Well, if it's any consolation, then I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we're going to get all of these.
Yes.
I feel like we're, oh, crap.
Right.
And we're going to lose because I was like, let's go conservative.
Yeah, I know we were feeling the same thing. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, along with their win, Team Canada, Greg Priest and Stacey McPeak are also our Warheads of the Week.
Yay.
Well, I love the little dance they're doing, by the way. That's outstanding.
That was the Team Beaver dance.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
What? Wait, what are we sorry? This is Canada again. What are we sorry for?
Sorry. We're sorry we won. Sorry.
Sorry we won.
Yo, you'll win next time, dude. Seriously.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll do really good next time.
It'd be awesome, eh?
They're already talking about next time.
Oh, man.
All right. Let me pull up some reviews for us.
Actually, real quick, Jonathan, I got an interesting review the other day.
Did you really?
I really
personally,
did.
Somebody reviewed you?
Well, not necessarily me, per se, but someone who is in this room right now.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
This actually comes from Taylor Wolfer. And Taylor asked a really good half-point question that will be coming up next one of the other times that I host. But he said, at the very end of it, he said, I love the show, I love you guys, and I love Rambo the Cat. So you know what this means?
What's that?
There's an officially a Team Rambo.
Oh my God, Team Rambo.
And Team Rambo might have just as many people as Team
Jonathan. If you made a Team Rambo, everyone would be on that team.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
Ben's nice and all, but he's no cute kitty.
Kitty. All right, here we go. So we have a review by Lunar Donut. Lunar Donut wrote a pretty lengthy review. It's 5 stars, and he says, the best trivia and warfare podcast out there. I love this podcast. I actually get it from RSS Radio, but subscribed in iTunes just to leave a review.
Thank you.
I love the trivia, and looked for a long time before I found the perfect show. Some had way too much inane banter, while others were just a guy asking questions alone. This show has the perfect blend of questions and talk. Questions are challenging, but not impossibly hard, until he hears this final. And the chemistry between all the people in the show is what sets it apart. They have fun, so you can't help but to have fun, too. One thing probably not mentioned much in reviews is the Facebook group. The community there is friendly and always active with people asking questions. I've been listening to the podcast for a while and seen its popularity grow. It is not an accident. They will win a podcast award sooner or later, and it will be deserved. Do yourself a favor and download. Lunar Donut, ladies and gentlemen.
I would have loved that review until you kicked me square in the nards in the middle of it.
Well, hey, what am I here for, right?
Well,
we also have a review from A-L-E-C-A-T-Q. It's hard to end a word with Q. I never know what to say at the end.
Alicat Q?
Alicat Q. Yeah, okay.
Alac
you? As a child, each holiday was celebrated by playing various trivia games for hours. As I've grown older, the gatherings have lessened. The podcast has brought back the same joy, competition, and camaraderie that my family gatherings once did. My husband and I listen to these on road trips and are currently tied. Love all the hosts, silly singing, and great guests. Good work. I love that they're keeping track of who wins the game.
That is so outstanding.
Husband and wife keeping track of who's winning and losing their Trivial Warfare games.
Hey, please email me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com to tell me what the score is on a regular basis, because I would love to know.
And we have one more review today. It's by Kermavexis.
Gazunite.
Kermavexis. And this is actually a 2-star review.
Oh, okay.
They say, a miss for me. While the trivia portion of the show is entertaining, it seems to get buried under the banter. I found myself fast-forwarding to get to the answers.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yep.
It's not for everybody.
You know what? We appreciate the review. Thank you very much, but we're going to be us.
There you go.
Yeah.
Us! Well, I don't want to let... Well, no, that's too long. We'll end on a low note. Just live with it.
Fair enough.
All right, guys. Sebastian... My son Sebastian has something he wants to say.
Here are this week's TWA promotions.
Okay, so here we go. We have quite a lot of promotions this week, so I'm going to go a little bit quickly. Andrew Swift is first up. Andrew has been promoted from captain to major. I appreciate you, Andrew. Thank you so much. Next up, we have the strange case of Robert Halsey. Robert, it took me a minute to figure out what you did. So, Robert, I believe, originally signed up as a lieutenant, and before the month ended and came around for his first donation, he actually upgraded and is now a captain. So, welcome again to Robert Halsey, our new captain. We also have an upgrade to a Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Winrick, making the jump up to Lieutenant Colonel. I think it's awesome, Joshua. Thank you. Marissa Christensen is joining us for the first time as a captain. Thank you, Marissa. We also have a promotion for Mara B., who is jumping slightly. She is still a lieutenant, but she has upped her support just a little bit. Thank you, Mara. We have a new lieutenant as well, Bridget McNulty. Thank you, Bridget. We have an upgrade from lieutenant to captain, Josh Mullen. Josh and I actually just hung out together in Seattle. I was up there for Geek Bowl. I'm going to be telling you about that in an upcoming episode here. But after the event was over, I had an extra day in town, and Josh and I met for lunch at a nice little Mexican restaurant and had a great time. So, Josh, I appreciate you showing your support and moving up to captain. That's awesome. We also have a promotion from lieutenant to captain, Colleen Hughes, jumping up a rank. Thank you, Colleen. You're awesome. We have a new, brand new lieutenant colonel, Alan Brown. Alan, welcome aboard. I really appreciate you coming in at that level and looking forward to getting to know you better over the course of this year. And last but not least, we have an upgrade of our favorite couple, the Bolins. Daniel and Tanya have moved from lieutenants to the captain level. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate you. Thank you to everybody who is stepping up. We're getting very close to our second big goal, which is to start bringing in $1,000 a month. And I'm really excited about that because it triggers the drawing that I was talking about in a recent episode and also triggers... the upgrade of payments to our hosts, they'll start making a little more money with each episode that they host. So very excited about that. and just really, really feel awesome about this. So thank you so much, guys. If you are not supporting us and you're interested in doing so, it's really easy. Just head over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/TWA, and you can see what's there for you. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this sucker up. Okay, it is time to wrap up the show. Good job, everybody. Greg and Stacy, are there any causes or things that you would like to tell us about before we get out of here?
For me, I am just relaunching a podcast I used to have called Us and Them. And it's me and a buddy of mine, Danny Gallagher, from Dallas, Texas. And we just make fun of each other for being from different countries and joke about the current events and stuff like that. We've just started recording new episodes. By the time this airs, if you look up Us and Them podcast on Facebook, you should find us. Please listen. We're a good show.
All right. The Us and Them podcast. It is not a deep exploration into the lyrics of Pink Floyd songs.
Not yet,
but soon. Soon. Yeah. Because
well, this is a special suggestion. This is a special episode of Us and Them.
That's right. All right, Stacy, is there anything that you would like to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. It was a lot of fun being on here. Look forward to doing it again, I guess.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, Chris, take us home, brother.
All right. Again, Stacy and Greg, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Jonathan, better luck next time.
Yeah,
I know. I'm about to get a stern talking to. Anyway, so you can reach Carmela at twafirstlady@gmail.com. You can reach Ben at twaliterature@gmail.com. And, of course, Jonathan, it can be reached at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. I've already listed mine, so I'm not going to say it again. And until next time, that's Greg, that's Stacy, that's Jonathan, and I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode was edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. If you need help with your podcast, find it at ProPodcastingServices.com.
Can you hear us?
Slightly closer. And yes, I can hear.
Good. You might need to sit on top of that thing.
Hold on one second.
No, that was a joke. I'm glad I didn't tell him to shove it up his ass.
That would be an interesting visual cue. Oh, that would be a really interesting visual cue.
No.
What did I just do?
I said you should go sit on it, you immediately got up, and I said, I'm glad I didn't tell him to shove it up his ass.